Well, good morning. Happy Sabbath to y'all. I want to invite you to turn with me to a scripture found in Revelation chapter 14, and we're going to look at verse 15. Revelation chapter 14, and we're going to start at verse 15. Revelation 14, verse 15. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, "Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe." Isn't that a powerful verse? Oh, I look at that and I just, I get welled up with joy of thinking that one day soon, and maybe I should say any minute soon, Jesus will be coming out of the clouds of heaven. You know, our earth is telling us that it's time to go home. You know, the perplexities of what our culture has been going through, what the elections have been saying, what the news has been saying, none of it's good. It's rare that you see anything that's really positive, is there? And as I survey this and I look around our world today, it gives me the hope that Jesus is coming soon. Harvest time is here, amen? It is a time when Jesus is finally going to say, enough's enough. It's time to thrust in the sickle. It's time to bring the fruit home. Well, my message today is calling Preparing for the Harvest. Now, I want to specifically talk to God's church today. Can we do that? I want to specifically talk to the church. And, you know, we've had sermons after sermons, I believe, looking at Revelation chapter 14, verse 15, asking the question, what can I do to be ready for the harvest? But what should the church be doing to prepare for the harvest? Amen? Do you realize that God has a work specifically mapped out for His church and preparing for the harvest? Do you realize that? Turn with me, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. Well, actually, I'm sorry. I jumped ahead here on my notes here. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 3 in verse 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 2. Now, I'm sure you're familiar with these verses of Ecclesiastes. This is a time for this and a time for that, a season for everything chapter. But Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 2, notice what the Bible says here. A time to be born, a time to die, and now here's the verses that I want to specifically look at today. It says, a time to do what? A time to plant, and a time to do what? Pluck up that which is planted. Friends, there is a time to plant, and there's a time to pluck up. What do you say? When you put this verse together, it says to me that there's a preparation that needs to take place before the harvest. Amen? There's a work that needs to be done before the harvest can be harvested. Amen? We can't pick the fruit unless we plant the seed. And we can't plant the seed unless we till the ground. Amen? You follow my reasoning today, what we're going to be talking about? There's a work for the church to do to prepare for the great harvest. Do you realize that we have a harvest that we need to participate here on planet Earth before Jesus comes? There's a harvest time specifically for God's church. Turn with me, if you will, now to Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 4. Proverbs chapter 20, and we're going to look at verse 4. Proverbs chapter 20, looking at verse 4. Now, in order to plant seeds, you must plow the ground, but before you have the harvest, you got to plant the seed, right? Verse 4. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the what? The sluggard, he says, will not plow because it's too cold outside. The sluggard will not plow. In other words, the sluggard finds reasons by which he cannot plow the ground. Now, I have to expand on this because I've seen this happen at times, with especially during evangelism time and times when it's time to give service to the Lord. I have found that many of our churches, most of our churches, most of our church people. And I'm not, again, I'm not trying to categorize any individual one person or this church per se. But I just say much, by and large, our churches are lazy when it comes to evangelism time. When it comes time to till the ground, we are too lazy. We don't want to go out because it's cold outside. We don't want to go out because it's going to take too much of our time. After all, we have kids that need to be in bed by 8 o'clock, and it's too far to drive. It's too for this, it's too much for that. I can't do it. I don't have enough money. Have you seen the gas prices lately? All these excuses why they cannot do. But notice the Bible says the sluggard. Now, according to my interpretation, a sluggard is not a very good person in the Bible. You don't want to be a sluggard, amen? He says, the sluggard, in verse 4, will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore, notice what it says here, he shall beg in the harvest and have nothing. In other words, you reap what you sow, amen? If you don't plow the ground, you're not going to get a harvest. But worse yet, if we are not doing the work as a church, guess what? We're not going to be a part of the great harvest of Revelation chapter 14. Friends, now is the time not to excuse ourselves from the work that the Lord of heaven has given to us. Amen? The man that sets his hands to the plow doesn't do what? He doesn't look back. He doesn't count the cost of what it cost him to be out there in the cold. After all, did not Jesus leave all of heaven to come down to save this pathetic world lost in sin? Did not Jesus lay down his kingly robe? Did not Jesus set down his kingly scepter? Did not Jesus set down his authoritative glory of his robes? Did he not set those down and come to this world as a little babe, as one who was despised and rejected by man, as one who was accounted as nothing, as one who considered himself but a worm in this world? Jesus laid all so that he can redeem humanity. And yet we complain when it gets too cold outside. The sluggard will have nothing in the end. In other words, God has given to his church the responsibility to get behind the plow. Can you say amen? We need to put our hands to the plow. Now, I am not a farmer, so I had to go do the research about farming. Okay, I know that I need to turn the ground up and level it out and plant some seeds, but I'm sure if I, you know, there's some farmers out here in our congregation and there's people around this area that have farmed. They know what farming is all about. I don't. So I had to find the redo the research, you know, and find out, really, what did you have to do? What do you have to do with the ground? What do you have to do? Well, first of all, in order to plant the seed, you got to plow the field. And I said, well, okay, you got to plow the field. What does that mean? Well, so I went online and I found this how to farm or something like that. And it says to plow. It gives you a little definition. I said, hey, this is great. Anybody can be a farmer, I suppose. It says to cut, lift or turn over the soil to allow moisture in. Now, if we remember the parables clearly, the field is what? It's the world, isn't it? If we are to go and to cut the ground, if we are to turn over the soil, that means that we as a church body, as a people, need to be out in the field, amen? Turning over the soil, what do you say? To allow the moisture to get in. In other words, the gift of the Spirit of Jesus to begin to reach and to touch those hearts, to soften and to mold the minds of these people so that they can be prepared to receive the seed. And what is the seed, friends? It's the Word of God, isn't it? It's the gospel. There's a work for us to do as a church body. There's a work for us to do to go out into the highways, into the byways, and to call these people, get out there, let's turn over the fields, amen? Let's turn the world upside down, as Paul stated. It's called, there's a cycle that comes in farming, isn't there? There's a cycle that you've got to be attuned inclined to understand. You got to turn the soil at the right time. You got to plant the seed at the right time. You got to do these things. And I guess it depends on, too, what you're planting and what you're not planting. So you got to be specific in what you're planting. Friends, do I dare say that we need, as a congregation, as a people, as a whole, be specific in turning over the soil? And I believe that there are many ways that we can turn over the soil. we can become community-oriented as a church body. We can do blood drives. We can do 8 weeks to wellness. We can do these things. Not all these things are going to be soul-winning activities, but they're a time to plant the seed into the heart that there is a people that believe in Jesus. Amen? But we can do more as well. And I think we should think and pray more earnestly, Lord, what would you have us to do? What would you have us to do? Be specific. Be specific. You know, after all, the Lord says, you receive because you don't ask. Could it be that our evangelisms many times fail because we don't ask the Lord to bless? Or could it be that we're not blessed because we forget to praise the Lord when He does give us the fruit of our labors? Jesus asks us to worship Him and give Him thanks and praise for all that He does. Why? Because He's the one that helps the seed to grow. Amen? Do you realize that you can't make the seed grow? You can't. It's impossible. You cannot make the seed grow. It's impossible. But what God gives us to do is to get our hands on the plow and to go turn up the ground. Amen? Let's do that as a church body. Let's do that as a people. Let's turn over the ground. After all, Jesus reminded, He said, hey, look around you. The harvest is ripe, friends, but He needs laborers. He needs laborers to go out into the field. He needs laborers to go and to turn up the ground. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 4, He says, the sluggard will not plow by reason. The sluggard will not plow. I don't want to do that. And I've heard the excuse before. I'm too old. I'm too young. I don't know this. I don't know that. I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't speak. I can't do this. Friends, you've got to get rid of the I can'ts, because God is the God of I can's. Amen? God is the God of possibilities, not impossibilities. What we think is impossible, God can do. Amen? I mean, how many of you believe that we serve a God of possibilities? We serve a God who does not fail. And you see, when we put our hand in His strength, then we are more than what? Conquerors through His name. There is nothing that God cannot equip you and help you to do. And do I dare say you have a community around you, around your homes, around your place, whatever, you have a field to plow. You have a field to plow. Well, let's move on here to the next step. There's a time to plant. Time to plow, but there's also a time to plant seed. In Mark chapter 4, our scripture reading for today, in Mark chapter 4, verse 26, the Bible writer says this, and Jesus says, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man could cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knows not how. You see, we are called not now to just plow the ground, but now to go and plant the seeds. To be specific in nature when we come in contact with persons or people that we come in our community or visit or happen to reach our hands out and grasp and say hello. We need to be specific in what God would have us to share to this person. Now that means being in tune with the Spirit of Christ. Because you do not know, we cannot read the hearts of men and women, can we? Only God can. But when we are specific in prayer, and diligent in prayer for people that we know, or specific with Christ saying, Lord, show me what I must say. I guarantee you, at that very moment, Jesus will reveal to you what you need to say at that specific time and hour to the person that you're standing before. Do not limit God by your inability, but give God your abilities so that He can make you limitless. Friends, God will give you the words to speak. God will give you the words to share. Friends, we are to be planting seeds into the heart of men and women, children, young and old, to prepare for the great harvest. If you do not plow, you will not reap. So in other words, what this verse is telling me is that if we don't have our hands to the plow, we are not going to be a part of the great harvest of Revelation chapter 14. All men and women are called to set their hands to the plow. All men and women are called to plant the seed. The seed is the gospel, friends, to plant that everlasting gospel, that message of hope, the word of God. We are to plant that word into people's hearts and minds. I'm sure I've told this story before. I'll never forget the young man named Mark. Remember that story I told you? There I was standing in front of Walmart, and this young guy, probably 18 years old, I was maybe 24, 25 at the time. And I'll never forget, you know, when you get those impressions, you know, the Lord speaks to your heart very clearly. And I remember, Roger, go tell him that I love him. What? In front of Walmart? You're kidding me. After all, he was busy. He's selling newspapers for college, you know, trying to get people to sign up to subscriptions and so forth. Go tell him that Jesus loves you. You crazy? Well, I fought with that for a few moments, and okay, I better do it, you know. And that impression was so strong, you know. And the time came, and I avoided it, and I didn't do it. A week later, I'm working in a grocery store, and I'm working at the grocery market there in Loma Linda, and I'm packing groceries. And guess who comes in the double doors? His name's Mark. Comes right up to me and asks the question, "How do I get to such and such a street?" And so I gave him the directions, and the Lord said to me, "I'm giving you another chance. Now go out there and tell him that I love him." Oh boy, I'm psycho now. I'm crazy, you know. Run out there, catch up with him in the parking lot, say, "Hey, stop for a moment." I said, "You may think this is the craziest thing that's ever been said to you. I don't know, you know, but I have to do this because I've been feeling guilty." I said, "A week ago I saw you over at this Walmart fight." He said, "Yeah, I remember being there." I said, "You probably don't remember me standing." "No, I don't remember you standing there, but I felt so strongly that I need to tell you something." And I said, I'm a Christian, and I hope you don't take this wrong, but I put my hand on his shoulder, and I said, "Jesus loves you." And I was waiting for the inevitable, you know, some kind of crazy lunatic or something. I couldn't believe it. Tears began to roll down his face. And as I was so surprised, he began to tell me his little story. I thought nobody cared for me in this world. He'd lost a best friend, you know, his parents were going through marital problems and all these things, and he really had no place to call home. A friend of his died, and he just, what's the meaning of life, you know? You see, friends, God will put us at the place and time in which he calls us to be there, but we need to be open to the Spirit of Jesus to plant that seed. We're not always going to see the end result of the seed planting. We're not always going to see what happens at the end after we plant the seed, but we've got to plant the seed, amen? We've got to till the ground. We've got to plant the seed. We've got to be specific in our efforts of reaching people, especially as an organized religion. We've got to be specific in planting the seed. How do we go about doing this? Well, we can do it through endeavors of personal Bible studies with people. We can open our doors and do X number of meetings or seminars or programs or something. Be specific, but yet at the same time, plow the ground and give opportunity to plant the seed. Put your hands to the plow, he invites us. Well, once we plant the seed and the seed begins to grow, we have another responsibility. And that is to take care of the ground that's planted around that seed. We have a responsibility when people come in these front doors and they sit down with us in a congregation, new or old, or if they've been there for one day or 20 days, we have a responsibility as a body of people to care for these people that have been given to our responsibility, to given our tasks, our cares, making sure that they're fed, making sure that they're well-nurtured, making sure that they're groomed, making sure that they are taken care of. That is God's church's responsibility, is to take care of his people, to take care of his flock. And yet at times we have seen lines down the middle of our congregations. I don't want to speak. We get all confused and messed up about our real responsibility, and we get caught up in thinking about me. It's about Jesus, isn't it? It's about the gospel of salvation. It's about sharing that message of hope. But notice in John chapter 4, in verse 35. John chapter 4, verse 35. Now Jesus gets even more specific. We plow the ground, we plant the seed, but friends, when the seed ripens and is ready, we've got a harvest, amen? We've got a harvest. And let me backtrack here. I forgot to mention, I looked up a wheat farmer. You know, I thought, okay, that's common, a common field of trade in the Bible, you know, the wheat and the tares and so forth. And this is where I got how to be a farmer, but it was after the wheat farmer. Once the farmer plants the seed and the wheat begins to grow, they have the tedious task, and this is what they said, the tedious task, when the wheat is growing, farmers need to protect it from disease, insects, and pests, and weeds. We need to guard the people, amen? We've got to protect the people. We've got to be careful to stand up for each other and to encourage each other and to uplift each other and to pray for one another after all. Encouraging one another in the Word of God, encouraging each other. When they're down, when they're low, we go and encourage them. We lift them up, you see. We are all called to put our hands to the plow. And this is what it means to be a farmer, is that we follow through with the entire process from the moment that we turn the ground over until the harvest time. We don't stop with just tilling the ground. We don't stop with just planting the seed. Friends, we go from the beginning all the way to the end, and it's a cycle that is non-stop. We don't take breaks. We don't go on retirement. We don't go on vacations when it comes to the Lord's work. We start with the ground. We continue until the harvest, and then we start with the ground again. Friends, we've got to follow the seasons. Amen? And Jesus tells us the hour of judgment is come. I don't know about you, but that is a time in history when He's very specific, when the seasons, the days, and the nights will cease to exist. We must work now while we have the time. Amen? We must work now. But in John chapter 4, verse 35, notice what Jesus says once again. He says, "Say not there are 4 months." Say not that there are 4 months, and then comes the harvest. I like this, because now he's referencing to the great harvest of Revelation chapter 14, you see. Don't put off the harvest. Oh, we got 4 months. Oh, we got this much time left. Or we got this much time left. Or as long as things are going okay right now, I'm okay, you're okay, everybody's okay. Let's not muddy the waters, you know. Let's be okay. We got time, you know. Something in the Proverbs that talks about the sluggard who puts off and delays the time that he was given. Friends, while we have time, notice what he says. Don't say it's far off. You see, we have to reason. We have to say it within ourselves. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of my opportunity to spread the word, to till the ground. Today is my day of responsibility. Not tomorrow. And don't give up to excuses. It's too cold outside. We can't give in to excuses. We must realize that God has placed on us, poor, free, rich, or whatever, old and young, the responsibility of soul winning. He has given us that responsibility. He goes on to say in verse 35 here, he says, "Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the field, for they are white, all ready to do what? They are ready for the harvest." Look at the times in which we live. The world around us is a revelation that Jesus is soon to come. Now is the time more than ever that our church people, the body of Christ, God's true messenger for the last days, is to rise up, to plow the ground, to plant the seed, and to bring in a harvest. But according to Proverbs, he who does not plow will not reap the benefits of the harvest. That's a sad thing, friends. Do you want to miss out on the harvest? Do you want to miss out on the great harvest in the last day when Jesus comes to thrust in His sickle and to bring home His saints? Do you want to miss out on that? But in order to receive the benefits of the fruit of the harvest, which is eternal life with Christ and everlasting life with Jesus, we must put our hands to the plow. Time is of the essence, if you will. now more than ever, we need to put our hands to the plow. If you don't mind, I'd like to read a couple of things. I don't know if you are aware of this, but North American Division, every year in October, is Spirit of Prophecy Month. We want the pastors to give a sermon on the Spirit of Prophecy and encourage the people with the Spirit of Prophecy. I hope, friends, we utilize the Spirit of Prophecy 24/7, year-round. What did Max say earlier? If we have the Bible and the Spirit of Prophecy, the Adventist people can't go wrong. Implement these practices into your life. Implement the message into your life. God has given these messages to His people so that we can be ready for the great harvest. So that we'll be lacking nothing. And so we have these divine counsels that have been given to us. Listen to this. In tilling the soil, in disciplining and subduing the lands, lessons may constantly be learned. No one would think of settling upon a raw piece of land, expecting it at once to yield a harvest. Earnestness, diligence, and persevering labor are put forth in treating the soil preparatory to sowing the seed. I mean, come on, this is common sense here, right? We have a field that we must harvest, but we can't sit by as idle laborers doing nothing. Hiredlings, but doing nothing. Last time I read, anybody who's hired to do something and doesn't fulfill his obligation gets fired. Should we start firing people in God's church today? I don't know. Something to consider. So it is, she says, in the spiritual work in the human heart, those who would be benefited by tilling of the soil must go forth with the word of God in their hearts. They will then find a fallow ground of the heart broken by the softening, subduing influence of the Holy Spirit. Unless hard work is bestowed on the soil, it will not yield harvest. In other words, the harvest is not going to automatically happen. People are not going to flood in through these doors until God's church starts to work. We can't expect the doors to just fly. Oh, one day people are just going to come in by the droves. It's not going to happen that way. God's people must put their hands to the plow. Can you say amen? If we expect a harvest. So with the soil of the heart, the Spirit of God must work upon it to refine and discipline it before it can bring forth fruit to the glory of God. In other words, what she is changing, the transforming, the transformation and the indwelling of the Spirit of Christ in the heart and the mind of that individual must be renewed, must be transformed before he can be a laborer for Jesus. You cannot win souls for Jesus unless you are first won to Christ in the first place. You get how that works? The soil, she says, will not produce its riches when worked by impulse. We just don't throw a shotgun fire out there and hope that we're going to win something. In other words, we need to be specific and organized in our efforts to win souls to the kingdom of heaven. We can't just arbitrarily throw something out. Let's do this. Let's try that. Let's do this. Friends, let's be specific in our organization. Let us be specific and be organized as a church body. What will God have us to do specifically for the Elmira area? Or the church at large? It needs thoughtful, daily attention. Now this is where we all come into play here. Are you praying for your church? Are you praying for the soil around your church here? Are you praying for those people that God would have us to reach? You see, are we praying for those? It must be plowed often, and notice she says, deep, with a view to keeping out the weeds that take nourishment from good seed planted. Those who plow and sow prepare for the harvest. None need stand in the field amid a sad wreck of their hopes. I can't do nothing. I'm too old. That's an excuse, friends. I like this one because we've always prayed these prayers and we've heard it from our forefathers and, you know, our mothers and our fathers in times past. Do you pray for the advancement of truth? We pray, Lord, advance your truth. May your message be heard abroad the world. Enlighten the world with the gospel message. Enlighten the world with this truth. Then she goes on to say, do you pray for the advancement of the truth? Of course we do. She says then, work for it. We pray, but we don't work. and show that your prayers rise from a sincere and earnest heart. God does not work miracles where he has provided means by which the work may be accomplished. We expect God to do miracles for us all the time, but God says, work, and then I will provide the miracle for you. We must put our hands to the plow. We must go forward, not looking back. Then God will provide the blessing. God is not going to drive people into the church unless we first work for and labor for these people. Use your time and talents in his service, and he will not fail to work with your efforts. If the farmer fails to plow and sow, God does not work a miracle to undo the results of his neglect. Harvest time finds his fields barren. There are no sheaves to be reaped, no grain to be garnered. God provided the seed and the soil, the sun and the rain. If the agriculturist had employed the means that were at his hand, he would have received according to his sowing and his labor. God has given us what? The Word of God. He has promised us his Spirit. Just as we read in Mark chapter 4, the man sleeps and rises, but he doesn't know how the grain grows. He doesn't. And so it's the same message that he was giving to Nicodemus. You see the wind blowing around, but you don't know how it works. So it is with the Spirit of Christ. We labor, and then the Spirit of Jesus works with our labors. You get that? And no wonder we're reminded there are souls all around us dying for the truth. And we're reminded at that great day, some will say, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you share this message with me? Why? And if the agriculturist had employed the means which were at hand, he would have received according to the sowing of his labor. You who are waiting in idle expectation that God will perform some wonderful miracle to enlighten the world in regard to the truth, I want to ask you if you have employed means that God has provided for the advancement of his cause. You pray for light and truth from heaven. Have you studied the scriptures? Have you desired the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby? Have you submitted yourselves to the revealed command? What is he saying? Get off of your knees from praying and get out there and work. Do we cease to pray because there's a lot of work to do? Absolutely not. But we must put into practice what we pray for. God will not do for us what we can, what? Do for ourselves. He gives us the means. He blesses the end. And I invite you today, friends, sincerely, to put your hand to the plow. Let us be co-laborers with Christ in preparing for the harvest. There is a field that needs to be plowed deeply. Let us not only pray that God would give us wisdom, but that God would give us revelation what we must do to win souls. May God lead us to direct our minds as a church body here in Elmira, but as a church worldwide. Lord, what would you have us do? Where would you have us go? What methods by which would you have us use, you see? A farmer has tools by which he uses to labor. Lord, what tools would you have us to use? Are you a laborer for Jesus? Have you set your hand to the plow? Are you one that says it's too cold outside? Or are you like Elisha, sets his plow, and when his faithfulness in setting his plow to the field, behind those 12 oxen, Elijah comes and he casts his mantle down. Elisha leaves the plow and goes to the greater work which God had called him by learning through the work of his labor behind the plow. God will not give us any greater opportunities unless we first learn to do our best of what's on hand. I appeal to us today as a congregation, as a people, not only do we pray for the Lord of the harvest, but that also too that he would find laborers to go into the field. Harvest time is soon. Jesus promised in Revelation 14, verse 15, there will be a loud voice thrust in my sickle. And I believe that the greatest reward that any of us could ever appreciate besides eternal life and spending eternity with Jesus is standing next to those that we have labored for. Wow. Standing next to those that we have labored for. And I can imagine that the owner of the field will say, "Where is your fruit?" Can you imagine not harvesting and coming to the end when the great harvest comes? And he looks and he says, "How come you're standing there alone? Where is the fruit of your labors? Where is the fruit of your hands?" Can you imagine standing there empty-handed, not able to share with God or Christ the fruits of your labor, to bring people hand in hand and present them to Jesus when he thrusts in the great sickle at the last day? He calls upon you and I to get to work. And friends, I want to not exclude myself, because it's very easy to, you know, we can point fingers, can't we? We all have the same responsibility. We're all farmers in this land. We all have the same challenges, the same tasks of going and talking to our neighbors and sharing with those in the world. We all have the same responsibilities. But I don't want to be a church that goes forward by impulse. I want to be specific. And I don't know what that specific thing that God would have us do. I want to ask you to pray for us as a church body and as a church as a whole. Lord, what would you have us to do? So that's my prayer today. And I'm going to invite you to turn to your friends and spend a moment in prayer asking the Lord Jesus to say specifically, "Lord, what would you have us to pray for? What would you have us do?" Ask the Lord to give wisdom to his church and be specific in our congregation. All right, so let's take the next couple of minutes and spend time in prayer and asking the Lord specifically for those things. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4, "For while one say, 'I am of Paul,' another, 'I am of Apollos,' are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But the ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Now he that plants and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundations, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the salvation that you have extended to all humanity. Not one, Lord, should perish if they would but invite you. Today, Lord, I pray that you would help us as a church, as a people, Lord, that you have called out of darkness and that you have given great light. As a people, Lord, that you have called to stand in these last days, Lord, I invite you, Jesus, and ask your help, Lord, to be laborers with you. Give us wisdom, Lord. Teach us. Give us teachable spirits, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you in this hour would bless our congregation, your people, your church. Show us, Lord, for those, and lead us to those people, Lord, that are anxiously looking towards heaven. Guide and direct us, Lord, with wisdom and understanding, and help us, Lord, to be specific in reaching those that need you. Show us, Lord, for the time is short. The time is at hand. You are coming soon. And by all means, Lord, let us be ready for this great day. In Jesus' name, amen.